You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. The Grateful Dead. It's been 50 years since the original band members began playing together in clubs around Palo Alto and San Francisco. In that time, they've sold 35 million records. But more importantly, they inspired an unprecedented culture of fandom. Bill Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Tony Blair, and hundreds of thousands of dedicated fans who flock to Grateful Dead performances throughout the country. This weekend, hundreds of thousands of those deadheads are expected to fill Chicago's Soldier Field as the band plays what they say are their final three concerts ever. Four original band members are set to play the concert, but the Dead's beloved frontman will be missing. Jerry Garcia passed away in 1995. In 1967, the Grateful Dead signed with record executive Joe Smith and released their debut album on the Warner Brothers label. During the mid-1980s, Smith interviewed dozens of legendary rock musicians that he previously worked with, including Jerry Garcia. Now, let's hear an excerpt from that 1985 interview, in which we hear what it was like to be in the band during its first few years.
So when the band finally fell into place as the Warlocks, it was basically what was the Grateful Dead.
Absolutely. Kreutzmann, me,
yeah.
Phil.
Pig and Bobby, huh?
That's right.
And what did it sound like?
It sounded like hell. It sounded really awful for the first few gigs.
Was it the Warlocks very long before you became the Dead?
About a year.
And what triggered the new identity?
Well, we finally discovered that there was a band that was recording under using the name Warlocks. So we said, oh, we can't have that kind of confusion. So we went on the band hunt, you know, looking
right.
for a name.
The name came from whom? Who dug it up?
Well, I found it in an old dictionary at Phil's house. And I just opened it up, and there I saw the Grateful Dead.
Jesus, you could have been, could you imagine what would have happened? The Warlock Heads? I mean, the dictionary changed society.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. That was about the time we fell in with the acid test and Keezy and those guys. We had started taking acid ourselves while we were still the Warlocks. We didn't do it at shows. At the time, we were playing the divorcees bars up and down the peninsula, you know?
Yeah.
Our booking agent was this guy who used to book strippers and dog acts and magicians and everybody else, you know. And it was the standard gig, six nights a week, five sets a night, standard bar stuff. We were doing that for about a year. And, you know, after that, you're ready for anything. We knew a lot of the people in Keezy's scene because it was all part of the Palo Alto scene, which we were part of. And they knew of us. The one guy named Paige, who was one of the pranksters, came to one of our late-night sets at one of the bars we were playing at. I said, hey, you guys, we're having these parties up at Keezy's place in La Honda every Saturday night. Why don't you guys come? And we said, well, we're working all the time. Luckily, the following week, we got fired, and we had nothing to do. So Saturday night came around. We went to the first one of those parties, which later became the acid test.
And what did you do there? I mean, it was just experimenting?
No, we just got, we set up the equipment, you know. Everybody got high. And stuff would happen. Now, Keezy and his pranksters have been doing this for a long time. They had instruments, they played weird music. But mostly it was completely free. There was no real performance of any kind involved. Everybody there was as much performer as audience, you know. These guys had never been confronted with a regular rock and roll band, you know. And we plugged our gear in, which looked like space-age military nightmare stuff compared to all their stuff, which was hand-painted and real funky, you know. And wham, we played about 5 minutes, you know, and then we all freaked out, you know. played for about 5 minutes, but it completely devastated everyone. You know, they begged us to come back to the next one. And that's how it happened, essentially.
When you guys now, you're doing some acid, you're playing around, what did you expect to be? Were you going to be a Beatles? Were you going to be a great rock and roll? What were you going to do?
We didn't really care whether we went somewhere specifically. We mostly wanted to have fun. And when we fell in love with the acid test, we started having the most fun we'd ever had, ever, you know, more than we could have ever, I mean, it was just incredible.
And how long did that go on?
For about 6 months. But that was probably the most important 6 months in terms of directionality. Because the neat thing about the acid test was we could play if we wanted to, but if it was too weird, we could always not play. You know, so that was the only time we ever had the option of not playing.
I lit up from Reno, I was trailed by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
That was the late Jerry Garcia, interviewed by the retired record executive Joe Smith. Thanks to David Gerlach, who produced that interview for the PBS series Blank on Blank. If you want to hear more historical interviews from Joe Smith and many others, you can subscribe to the Blank on Blank podcast at blankonblank.org. We'll include a link at kalw.org.
I ran down to the levee, but the devil caught me there. He took my $20 bill and it vanished in the air. Stop running, but take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine.